Good morning, everybody. My name is Soumya Alva, and I'm going to be talking about MAMA, the program that's called Mobile Alliance for Maternal Action. You heard a little bit about it from Mary Ann because we've been sharing information on content with the program that she's involved in Timor-Leste as well. But I'm not going to go in depth into the program itself. I'm really going to focus more on the whole monitoring and evaluation aspect, the development of the global framework, the kinds of indicators we've picked, what was important in developing this framework and how we want to use it. So unfortunately, there is no other member from the MAMA team out here. I was involved in developing this framework initially when the program was initiated for the first couple of years. And now they've decided, as the program's been expanding, to have someone in-house for monitoring and evaluation. But I'll try and answer any questions, because I haven't been in touch with the program for the last few months. But if there are additional questions that I can't answer, I'll try my best to get back to you on them. So I have no relationships to disclose. So very briefly, I want to talk about MAMA. I don't know how many of you are familiar with MAMA. MAMA is the Mobile Alliance for Maternal Action. It's a public-private partnership that was set up almost 3 years ago between USAID, Johnson & Johnson, United Nations Foundation, MHealth Alliance, and Baby Center, each one contributing to different aspects of the program. And they first decided to set this program up in three countries: Bangladesh, South Africa, and India. And in each country, the program has been a little bit different. The main focus of the program is providing, you know, health information through messaging to mothers, particularly low-income mothers, using mobile phones. However, based on the context, the focus is very different. In Bangladesh, the messaging is very focused on maternal health, antenatal health, and so on, because, you know, of the high levels of maternal mortality in the country and the need for such care. In South Africa, yes, it's the same thing. We are targeting pregnant women and new mothers, but there's a greater focus on HIV, because PMTCT is something that's far more important in that context. The other differences are the kinds of technology. In Bangladesh, it's a lot simpler. People have access to very basic phones. So the technology is primarily SMS, or in some cases, IVR, which are these automated, you know, messages, which actually people prefer. With the level of literacy out there, which is kind of low, and the basic phones, these are the two methods that seem to work in Bangladesh. Additionally, they're also charging for services. So people, unless you're the absolute poor, the business model in Bangladesh is set up in such a way that people contribute to a certain portion of the charges for these messages. In South Africa, the technology is very different. People have, you know, smartphones, they use a lot of data. Text messaging is far more expensive, so the text SMS-based program is limited to a much smaller part. There are other around specific health centers. The technology that's very popular is the Mobi site, mobile site. So where it's a little bit different, because people could get into this Mobi site even if they're not really registered into the program. So these are both content-based messaging services, but they're actually quite different across the countries. And in India, the program has been moving a little bit slower. They're still trying to figure out how exactly they want to establish it, especially because there are so many ongoing mobile, you know, mHealth programs already. They didn't want to set up yet another one. So it's being developed, possibly being developed only in urban areas, maybe linking with other organizations. So I'm not going to be focusing so much on India, but this is just a brief overview of what MAMA's about. So MAMA in the last couple of years has been, you know, increasing its reach. It's kind of hard to follow, but basically I wanted to point to some numbers. In the last couple of years, through these various technologies, they reached about 380,000 mothers and family members in South Africa, and close to 200,000 in Bangladesh, and they expect these numbers to increase even further. So overall, it's been more than 500,000 people that we've been able to reach this through this program. There's another yellow line there called the MAMA community, and this is, the MAMA community is set up of organizations like the program that Mary Ann talked about, where through Baby Center, the content messages that MAMA has developed for timely delivery, you know, of vital information at various stages of pregnancy, this is something that has been shared with other organizations who are interested. And so rather than reinventing the wheel and every country, every program setting up its own messaging, they've been able to use messages from MAMA. And this is part of the global learning kind of scope of the MAMA program. And so the reach of the MAMA program is not necessarily just in Bangladesh or in South Africa or in India, but really to a whole host of organizations all over who would like to use these messages. So going into the monitoring and evaluation framework, when we started working on MAMA, we decided we needed to do some performance monitoring, but also develop some kind of a monitoring evaluation framework that would be useful for all mHealth programs in general, particularly in the area of maternal child health, but possibly they could use this framework and adapt it to the needs of their specific program. So like other M&E efforts, the main objective was to try and identify what gaps exist within your program, how, you know, that would help you decide how you want to make improvements with the objective of having a more an improved program in place. At various points, it would help you, you know, define indicators and collect data to try and identify how the program is being implemented, whether it fits with the overall goal of the program, whether any changes need to be made along the way, whether, you know, the information was reaching, you know, women in a timely manner, and so on. And because we have different countries that we were working in, the objective also was to create a common core set of indicators that we could use across countries to compare. So the M&E framework was, the idea was to develop indicators where each country would use the indicators that were relevant for themselves within their program to see how well they were doing. But from the global perspective, the MAMA Global Partnership would look at all the countries that they're involved in and try and, you know, put that together to see how, you know, improvements could be made, and looking at it from, you know, a higher level. So the main audience was project implementers in countries, but to some extent the Global Partnership as well. And while the main focus was monitoring and evaluation, there was also some guidance on kinds of evaluation methods that would be ideal in programs of this nature. So in developing this framework and in developing the indicators that were relevant for measuring performance, we focused on a whole range of stakeholders. So of course, we're really interested in providing information to, you know, mothers, pregnant women and new mothers who take care of their kids. Depending on the country, like in Bangladesh, quite often it's not the mother, it's the mother-in-law, the husband. So it's really household decision makers who help in this process of, you know, who are critical in providing critical in ensuring that the health of, you know, mothers and children improve. So our focus is on beneficiaries, typically who are typically low-income women. But we're also interested, when we compile information for performance monitoring, in a range of organizations who are involved in the implementation. So this could be, you know, within the country, it could be program implementers, which is not just one organization, but it's a partnership often between somebody who develops the technology platform, somebody who helps with the content, country governments who also work together. What's also critical is the mobile network operator. So each one of these organizations have a different stake in the whole program, and they have different needs from the whole program. And so I think when we develop these indicators, we try to take into account what they were interested in the implementation of this program. At the global level, of course, you also had the Global Partnership, which was overseeing the implementation of these programs, and we tried to take their needs into account as well. This may be a little bit hard to read, but I'm going to quickly try and go through, you know, what our basic theory of change was. So let's focus on the lower part, which says country program. So ideally, you know, we were looking at what was happening within a country. So it's your standard theory of change log frame kind of model, where you have the inputs and then you go all the way to outcomes at the end. So initially, you have inputs such as, you know, funding provided from the global level, technical assistance. Funding could also come from advertisers and other sponsors within the country. You have the mobile network infrastructure within a country. You have the various country implementing partners who all work together. These are all inputs that go into the country program, as a result of which they work together, they develop a partnership, and they develop a platform before which the program, you know, starts really takes off. So what we have in the circle is the next phases. So based on, once all of this is set up, the partnership is set up, you have the platform in place, The next step is to get the content in place and have it delivered to women, to the beneficiaries that you're interested in. So there's the development of mHealth information. And once the mHealth information is developed, and like the program that you know Marianne talked about, the focus was on timely delivery, 2 messages a week to women and their husbands in Bangladesh, for example. So based on this delivery of messages, the next stage is women have access to this information. They engage with, they're really engaged in the whole process, and there's an increase in their awareness of their health needs and available health services. And when this these processes going on, go on, as we move along this chain, the objective is that there would be improved health-seeking and preventing behavior. So we're focusing on both preventive behavior, so women know what to do in advance, as well as know where to go and seek services in the areas that they live in. So that's how the program works at the country program level, but however, there's a MAMA global partnership that oversees things within each country, and like I mentioned earlier, there's a global learning component. So what we learn from each country is something that we also want to disseminate to the global health community, and that's happening at a larger level. So some of the key questions that we want to ask as part of this whole process focuses on, you know, the women and specifically, and as we, you know, went through that chain, questions that we want to know, are we reaching enough people? Are they getting the right kind of messages? Are the messages reaching on time? Are they engaged enough? Do they have enough access? And as a result, you know, are they interested? Is there a greater demand for health services? Are they accessing the health services? Are there improvements in their health? So that's all from the women's and the child's perspective to see how they've made improvements in their health overall by asking, you know, many of these questions in between. However, we're also talking about programs that's set up in the country. So at the program itself, there are other questions we want to ask. There are many stakeholders in play who work together to set up this program in the country. Now, is this a successful partnership? Is it a viable business model? Should we be charging money? Is it functioning well? Are there issues with the software, you know, technical platform? Is there sharing between other organizations within the country? What are issues related to scale up? So these are all at the program level within a country, questions too that we want to ask and get answered. And when we measure the success of the program, we want to look at both of these aspects, both in terms of how many women we're reaching and whether there are improvements in health, but also in terms of the program growing, you know, what are the things that are relevant for the program specifically. While we're doing all this, I think we also need to recognize that not everything is within the control of the program itself. So yes, you have many stakeholders. You have the government, you have implementing partners, you have mobile network operators. They're all, you know, they've all come together to set up this program within the country. But there are constraints. You don't know what the, it depends on what the infrastructure is within the country. So if there's no network coverage in some regions, your program is just not going to function as much as you would like to. And these are things that you can't do. Can't do much about as an implementer. It also depends on how much support the country government wants to give in a program of this kind. You also rely quite a bit to work with community health workers, local women's groups, and other informal networks, either to provide information about it, about the program, or to facilitate the whole process of information dissemination. You're also interested in things like subscriber loyalty. There may be reasons why subscribers may stick to one phone company and not another. And there may be financial reasons, other reasons which are beyond the scope of your program, which you still need to take into account in some ways while you're planning the whole program. I won't spend too much time on the M&E framework again, mainly because these are the same topics that, you know, were part of that big, you know, theory of change. So the issues that I talked about on the left column, you have various activities like the setup of the program, you're developing appropriate content, you're providing information to people, women are engaged, and then as a result, you hope that the behavior is changed. And so outputs are the various measures that we came up with to try and measure how well these activities were being performed. And to collect data for these, there are a number of ways to collect information. So for some of it, if you have set up, you know, a mobile software platform, you can keep track, you know, you can keep track of how many people you're reaching automatically. So you don't have to collect data on a regular basis. The system will just tell you how many people are being reached, where these women are, how many of them are accessing their messages. But if you want more information on what they think about the content, how they're using it, either you have short quizzes either through your phone where you ask them quick questions and they respond and tell you how they're responding, or less frequently because it's more expensive, you'd have to do some kind of a survey or something, a qualitative data collection effort in specific areas to try and get more in-depth information, but that would have to be less frequent. There are also other ways, depending on where the program is, if it's linked to a health facility, you'd have to get information from health facility records to see how there have been changes in their care-seeking behavior, whether women are accessing services, whether they're getting children are getting immunized, and so on. So what I wanted to emphasize was, depending on the kinds of indicators we have, there are a series of data collection sources, and also these sources, they vary by how frequently we can collect data on the various aspects. So once these data are all compiled within a country for various indicators, the idea, like I said, was for the country itself to, say for Bangladesh, they need to, do continuous performance monitoring to see how well they're doing with their program. So we gave them guidelines using the framework for specific indicators that should be collecting information on. So I'm trying to remember, and there are, you can review the report to see what specific details are there. So we gave them a long list of indicators based on the whole scope of program and said, these are all the indicators that would be relevant. And of course, you'd have to fine tune it a little bit to your context. And these are ways in which you could collect data on all of those. And this is what we provided to the countries. At the global level, we said, out of this long list, I think there are 12 or 13 that are critical, that we think at the global partnership level would be useful for us to compare how the different countries are doing. But within the country itself, each of the countries, these are examples from Bangladesh and South Africa, they developed their own dashboards to provide the information that they wanted to inform their programs and generate this information on a regular basis, which they would also share to the global partnership and which would combine information from the various countries together. So while most of the focus was on monitoring and evaluation, there was some general guidance in the, in the monitoring and evaluation framework as well about the different kinds of, evaluation studies that would be relevant to a mobile messaging program of this kind. So initially, when you start a program, it would be useful to develop, formative evaluation studies to try and understand who your target population is. Are these people who would be willing to pay for these services, or would they all have to be free? So should you focus on urban areas, rural areas? What kinds of technology should be using? So these are formative evaluation studies that you could do up front. And as your program is being implemented, in addition to gathering performance monitoring information through, as I explained earlier, it's also important to do qualitative studies at regular intervals to try and understand how well the program is being implemented. Are women finding it useful? Are there issues with the content? Are they able to access health services? What are constraints? And so on. It's also important to try and understand what the impact of the program is. Not just to see at various stages how well women are doing, but really, are there improvements in their health behavior? And trying to, methods where you could compare two different groups, the treatment and control group, people who don't have access to mobile health services, to see how different they are, the two groups are. And, there are many other operations research studies as well that one could do. One could do studies on scale-up of programs. You could do studies on how well partnerships are working. Studies on cost effectiveness. These are all questions that don't get answered as part of your standard impact evaluation or your performance monitoring, but are very relevant. So just to conclude, I wanted to point out that all of this information that I've been talking about, which I summarized in 12 minutes, is also part of the Global Monitoring and Evaluation Framework that MAMA developed last year, and it's available on their website. There's a lot more detail and a lot more information there, but the whole idea is that it's part of this global learning process where programs everywhere, if it's relevant to them, could use the information there and make changes and adapt it to their programs. Thank you. I'm going to leave this on for a minute till the next month, so in case people want to write things down.
Sure. Okay.